A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Hello and welcome to another episode. Today we're talking about dreams. What are dreams? What happens to our brain while we're dreaming? Why are they important? Why should we pay attention to our dreams? What is the dream ego? And why are dreams so important for Jungian psychology? I hope you enjoy our discussion. All right, Dan, well, here we are for another episode. Thanks for joining me today. I would like to talk about dreams.
Dreams.
Yes. And again, we're talking about basics.
We're talking about basics. We're doing the big ones.
We are. And I think we've been talking about dreams a fair amount without really setting a precedent for what dreams are and why we talk about them and why they're important. So thought we could go over all of that today. So I found a really good article on Scientific American about what the science behind dreams are.
Oh, good. And yes.
So I thought, you know, with my biology background, I'm always interested in the biology aspect. And so I had this one little section that it talks about the science.
Good.
And then after that, we'll go more into why it's so important from the Jungian aspect. This is a study that they did. They had... It's only about 75 people, but they had them do a sleep study. It's interesting. So it says our brains experience four types of electrical waves, delta, theta, alpha, and beta. Each represent a different speed of oscillating electrical voltage. And together they form EEG, which electro and
encephalograph.
Yes, thank you.
EEG.
Yes. And so the research is an EEG machine, right?
That,
to calculate what different stages that they were in during their sleep. Our dreams, when we dream, is when we're in REM sleep.
That's correct.
Yes. And they woke the students several times and asked them to fill out dream diaries or if they had dreamt or not and what they could remember. And so what they found was that it indicated that people who are more likely to remember their dreams when they're directly woken up after REM sleep. So that right. makes sense to me, right? Because you're dreaming in REM and if you're woken up immediately right. after.
And remember, REM means rapid eye movement.
Right. Yes.
Rapid eye movement.
Exactly. And it said the participants who exhibited more low frequency theta waves in their frontal lobes were also more likely to remember their dreams. And what's interesting about this is that this theta wave is the same thing that occurs when they are looking at people's brains while they are bringing up memories. And so I find that really interesting because there's also these other theories when you look into dreams that talk about how they're just merely like electrical brain impulses, they're just random, that they're not, you know, it's just our brain's way of sweeping and cleaning and that they're not really meaning anything. But this other study that's more recent, I find it really interesting that it's connected to these same parts of our brains that are connected to us literally remembering things.
Have you ever been in a sleep study?
No, I've never been
in the sleep lab. Yes. Yes, I have. And so, yes, I had my head wired and
nice.
That EEG machine, it was 22 leads surgically glued to my scalp and forehead and each one with a wire going into a harness, you know, on the little stand on wheels. Mm-hmm. And then they said, okay, now, you know, go to sleep. It's like a, it's like a hotel room and it has a one-way mirror because the technician does watch you. And that's how they can tell that you're having REM sleep, by the way, is that the guy is watching you.
And he watches your eyes move.
Yes. And then I'm like, well, how am I supposed to sleep with this harness on my head? Like, this is
Right.
not normal sleep. Like,
Yeah.
and he said, deal with it. And I did. And it was okay. I mean, it was okay. So yeah, that's a real thing, I would say. And that stuff about the different waves, I mean, that's 40 years old. Yeah, sort of alpha and beta waves are a kind of awaking. The delta waves are the restorative sleep, the deep sleep when it's very hard to wake you up, but that's what's restorative. So the delta waves are the long, slow rolling waves, and that's what you want every night. For people who have sleep disorders, and there are many sleep disorders, and almost half of people have sleep problems sometime in their life. I mean, but a disorder is not a problem. A disorder is sort of even more profound and disruptive. If you don't get the
Chronic.
delta waves, the deep sleep, that's when you feel very poorly when you wake up because you did not get deep sleep. The theta waves are the mystical, magical thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I wrote a novel a long time ago called Mystic Chocolate. It has,
Mystic Chocolate? I don't remember
well,
that one.
oh yeah, it was a fun, very satirical novel, but the basic thing was that the main character had this experience with the Navajo medicine man, in which, when he was finished with the experience, he was having theta waves all the time, even when he was awake, walking around in a state of bliss from the theta waves. So I very much know about theta waves, and it's also good to have theta waves.
So then, what's the difference with the theta waves then? Why are
The
they?
theta waves are more amplitude.
Okay, I'll go up and down more.
Yeah, up and down and closer, not like the delta is a slow rolling wave. Theta's steeper, but not in alpha, is like your great crazy kitten, right? It's just all the time. So that's what's different about theta waves. And again, it's good to have theta waves too.
Are those only when we're dreaming?
No, they happen in all kinds of states of bliss. I wouldn't know anything about other kinds of being euphoric based on chemicals, but probably theta waves have something to do with that too.
I'll have to look and see if there's research on that.
So it's good to have theta waves, right? So that old theory about dreams are random firings of neurons that are utterly, completely meaningless, that's pretty well discarded now, even among scientists, because it's exactly kind of what you were saying. I think the predominant theory, neuroscience theory, is that primary function of dreams is processing memory.
Yeah, that's what I was
And that
seeing from
it's
this article.
important that if, again, for people who don't sleep, they start to have memory problems. And so when you think about it, insofar as we think the brain is like an organic computer,
Well, yeah.
okay, there's a way, it is scarily like an organic computer.
Oh,
That's
yeah, needs
how
to clean the
it
memory
is.
card off.
It is, well, and it has two memory systems, just like a computer, right?
Short term and long
Short term
term.
and long term, but short term, in other words, is RAM of your
Yeah,
computer,
RAM.
and long term is disk. And if you've ever had computer issues, you know that if you don't hit save, which that's you're writing to disk,
Yeah, exactly.
what you thought you just did is just in RAM.
Right,
And as
short
soon as the
term.
computer is off, that clears RAM. Anything in there is gone. Or as your RAM fills up, then well, it only keeps track of the last hour. It doesn't keep track of 3 hours
Right,
ago.
it can't have
And so
everything.
think of your short-term memory as just like that.
It needs to get cleared off every once in a while.
Or when it fills up, it just starts dropping things. And
Yeah,
again,
I'm looking at my millions of tabs open on my
you just
computer
exactly. That's
right
all taking up RAM, by the
now. I
way.
know. I know. I'm so bad at it, clearing it out.
And then I'm speaking about old time computers, right? When you'd
Well,
have
before solid state, yeah, then they went spinning.
128K of RAM, you know, instead of a terabyte of RAM. But
Right.
there you go. So the dream or memory processing is that the experience, fresh experience of the day, which is in RAM, has to be written to disk, which in this case in the brain is partly the hippocampus and partly the hypothalamus.
Trying to remember where those are in
Oh, they're kind of in
the
the middle,
brain. In the middle.
kind of
Okay.
in the middle. That's where theoretically memories are stored in disk, in
And yeah.
long-term form
Long term. Okay.
in that. And then a dream also, when you think about memory, if it were again on your computer, it would be a huge file, a memory.
Right. Yeah, every day is a huge
I mean,
file.
I edit some video, and those are the biggest files, especially like, you know, HD video.
Very big.
It's huge. Well, it's can be 10 gigs
Yeah, and that's I think 4K now.
for
People have
much less for
massive files.
4K, and I'm like, that's a 20-minute video is 10 gigs. And why? Because there's so much information
Yeah.
and different channels. It has to keep track of colors. It has to keep track of sound. It has to keep
Right.
track of motion.
Exactly.
Now think of trying to store a memory. And when it,
Right.
the interesting thing is, so memory is not only visual, the visual like a video that is stored, it's
Yeah.
all the other stuff. It's the
Exactly.
sensation, how
The
cold
scent,
or warm,
the
the smell,
feeling.
and the feelings. Those are all recorded in this video
So it has way
memory.
more tracks than an HD video does.
And think how long that would take to process if you were
Ugh.
saving that to disk. And also, you're leaving out the filing system, which you mentioned out. I mean, we do have a filing system, and so,
Oh, yeah.
but at night, you know, in a dream, when all this processing is happening, it also is. And where does this file go?
Right. How
And
do
it's
we
like,
organize
well, it's
this?
kind of like this experience, but it's actually more like this. Like, it's which folder is the memory going to go in? I mean,
Right.
and in the long run, it goes in many different folders. So that's what this current dream theory is that part of the reason so many memories come up is that that's part of the processing, looking for comparisons.
Right. Where does it go?
Where
Where
is
does it
this?
fit?
Where am I going to write to what? You know, where does it go? And then well, it's kind of like this experience. Then it's kind of like this experience too, and that kind of evaluation of memory storage. So that
That
is
goes on when we dream. Yeah.
well, in this scientific theory, that's what dreaming is.
Categorizing where things are.
And saving to disk.
Well,
And
that's
then
really,
here,
really cool.
it is really cool, but there's so much more.
I know. I think we could spend the whole hour talking about the science, but I think we should move on. I want to talk about the next question is what is the Jungian perspective on dreams? So I know there's a lot there, so we can try and keep this basic, but why was Jung so fascinated with this? I'm sort of interested if there was a catalyst and why he got so into dreams in the first place. And how do you think that has sort of propelled our, because I know our society thinks about dreams in a lot differently than we used to. And how do you think Jung has sort of been a catalyst for that?
So, dreams have been important in every culture throughout all of history.
Well, I mean, they're kind of weird.
And right? Well, and were reported and discussed and talked about. I would say our scientific culture is actually less interested in dreams than any culture ever. Other cultures in past times and still to this day in other places assign great meaning to dreams. Jung is sort of anthropological research, traveled to Africa, Uganda, and Kenya, and he traveled to Taos, New Mexico, and the Hopi, and he traveled to different mental hospitals in the United States to compare dreams. So when he went to Africa, among the Elgani people, which is something like neighbors of the Maasai or something like that, he asked them about their dreams. And then when he went to see the Hopi, he asked them about their dreams. He asked everybody in different cultures about their dreams. He did tell a story that in Africa, he asked the Laban, the medicine man, about dreams and the importance of dreams in their culture. The medicine man said, in the past, the dreams told us when the rains would come and when it was good for the hunt and when to move in the dry season. The dreams told us this. Since the British have come, the overseer knows everything, so we no longer have dreams.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Isn't it?
Oh, he's totally disconnected from their past and their intuition, I feel like.
That's right. So, right. I mean, can dreams tell about when the rainy season and things are coming? And yeah, actually, and that would be intuition. Very good. So as we get more scientific, we lose so much of that cultural history. In the Hebrew and Christian Bible, for instance, there are many, many dreams. Many dreams that are reported and are very classic, important, big dreams. So you have Jung graduating as a doctor in 1900. That's when he graduated from medical school and then begins working as a psychiatrist at the Buerkholz Clinic. And then he soon found, just like Freud, that people just started talking about their dreams.
Unprompted.
It unprompted, that it was kind of unavoidable.
That makes sense, though.
It does. So Freud, again, in the Jewish tradition, dreams are very important. You know, rabbis talk about dreams and you take your dream to the rabbi. So Freud grew up with tradition of people discussing their dreams. And then Jung, because he was raised in the country, not in the city, he was used to a great deal of folk ways, folk legends, myths, old wives' tales. I mean, everybody, you know, in the country was not a sophisticated, scientific Swiss modern person. And so again, he having that background, he just took it for granted. And especially on his mother's side, there were several family members who were psychics.
Psychics.
Yes, indeed. In fact, he had to write his thesis for medical school, and he wrote it on a medical case study of a medium.
That's really
And
interesting. I didn't know that he had a background like
he
that.
went to the seances and, you know, reported how the
Really?
medium acted, the different sort of entities she channeled in her
And he was doing it
mediumship.
from like a scientific
He
perspective?
did. Well, it was his dissertation
Well,
turned in to be a doctor. And by the way, he concluded that these different things that happened in the mediumship was because she had multiple personality disorder. And the
Right, of
different
course.
entities who appeared were part of her
Her different.
split off. Now, he failed to mention in his dissertation that the medium was his cousin.
Nothing like family. That's so
Right.
funny.
And so the seances were all with his family members were going there.
And the people she was contacting were all his family members and stuff. Oh, jeez.
So, you see, that's by way of background to say all this stuff was there, either for Freud, in the tradition he grew up in, and in Jung, in his family, in the country. The only real difference that they brought, the scientific approach, right, was that it was not in the university. It was not a subject of medical research. Because in the long run, there was no unified theory of how to work with dreams. Didn't exist.
So is that what Jung set out to do then?
It happened just because people started talking about their dreams. And in the beginning, Jung had no way of organizing it or even sort of a theory to think about it. And Freud did, because in the year 1900 also was when Freud published his famous book, The Interpretation of Dreams.
I forgot about that book.
Well, that was the first semi-scientific, and many people would say pseudo-scientific, but examination of dreams from a clinical perspective. And that Freud developed a method about how to work with dreams and how to understand dreams. And that Jung, then, when he got to know Freud, which was not until 1907, adopted Freud's approach to working with dreams.
So, what is Freud's approach to working with dreams then?
That's a l okay. Basically,
Yeah, short Cliff Notes version.
so the Cliff Notes version are, as a scientific theory, like we discussed when we started, Freud thought that the purpose of dreams was to maintain sleep, was to prevent the dreamer from waking up, that a mental faculty called the censor would disguise, sublimate, redirect disturbing thoughts and images that came up in this memory sorting process and give them an acceptable face that would not be as disturbing.
Okay, so just disturbing enough to process without waking us up.
Without, right. And that was the purpose of the dream, was to disguise disturbing thoughts, so they did not wake the dreamer. This is Freud's
That's
dream theory.
I wonder how he got to that
And
point.
then you get to, so the nightmare kind of dream is, of course, a violation of Freud's rule.
I was going to say, yes.
Right,
There are
because in that case,
nightmares you can't wake up
the
from.
images were so disturbing that somehow they got through the censor and woke you up.
But you
It's
don't always wake up from the nightmares,
only
though.
a nightmare if you wake up. But FYI,
I don't know about
if
that.
it no, it can be a disturbing dream. It's not technically a nightmare until it wakes you up.
Really?
So then,
I
what
didn't
does
know
Freud
that.
do with that? Like, well, what happened to the censor then? This, this was so disturbing that it interrupted sleep, and he thought that yes, there really is content that disturbing. In and then Freud brought another idea that had been cooking, but he brought it to the forefront: the idea that where does all this come from? And it comes from the unconscious. Everything in dreams comes from the unconscious. Although he's still on the memory processing theory, even though that's not what he called it, but that the dream starts with the day residue. That's what it's called. The day residue is what happened during that day that needs to be processed. And so that's, when people say, well, why did I have this crazy dream? Well, I watched this movie, and that's why I had this dream. That would be day residue.
But I mean, you can have dreams of things that you've never seen before.
Exactly. And as I say to people, well, that's fine. Yeah, perhaps it has to do with the movie, but during the day, you watched 18 YouTube videos and you watched two movies and four television shows, plus other things happened in the day and you didn't dream about them.
So why did you dream
So what's
about
the
this one?
selection process that it takes images from this movie? And if you watch a movie tomorrow, then there'll be no dream whatsoever. So
Weird.
there's a whole lot more to it than just a day resume. You see
Right.
what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the only contributing
What
factor.
about, when you dream about the friends you had in elementary school and you have not seen them since elementary school?
That's true. It's really pulling one from deep in there. Yeah.
So Jung first adopts Freud's way of working with it. The primary thing that I hinted at was that Freud talked about two levels of the dream, every dream.
Okay.
Very famously, the so-called latent dream and the manifest dream.
Okay.
So the dream that you remember and can write down, say out loud, is the manifest dream. And Freud's theory is that that is not the real dream. That is a product
Right.
that has been worked on. The latent dream is the dream that you can't see or know. So that's one way that Freud also uses Kant, because everybody in the German-speaking world was influenced. So latent and manifest is the same thing as the phenomenal and the transcendent, but which you can't see the transcendent. You can't see the latent dream.
Okay.
So that the latent dream is underneath, and the manifest dream is what we have, and that the job of interpretation is to peel back the layers to get some hint of the latent dream. To peel back the
Okay.
layers in the manifest dream, which were done by the dream work. And it doesn't mean what people think it means today. The dream work is the mental processes which crafted the manifest dream.
Yeah, my dream work was going to come up, so I'm glad we're
And
talking about
the
it.
four aspects in Freud of the dream work are displacement, condensation, sublimation, and representability.
Wow. Okay. I didn't have a chance to write those down,
You
but
don't have to write them down. I've got it
okay.
memorized, right? Displacement is you dream in a dream, and a friend of mine verbally attacks me for no reason.
Okay.
Now, the displacement is a friend of mine.
Right. So not a specific person.
When you talk about it, it's like, well, what happened in the day and things like that. It's like, oh, well, actually, it was my sister did that to me. But in the dream, the displacement, it would be
Jesus.
disturbing, you see, by displacing it into a friend, it's less disturbing
I
than
see.
It's your
Then the
sister,
sister.
right? And
Okay.
that's a displacement, and also your mother, your father,
It could be anybody, yeah.
your husband. If it's too disturbing, it in the dream it's displaced to something else.
Okay.
But there's the thought, the latent dream behind. Actually, these are your feelings about your sister,
So
right?
we're peeling it back to
We're undoing the dream work of the displacement. Number
Interesting.
two, condensation, which is that many dream images are an amalgamation of not four or five different things all put together in one image.
Right.
An amalgamation.
Yeah,
Like
that makes sense.
that, well, it's a friend in the dream. Who's actually, when I think about it, my associations would be it's kind of like a friend I had in elementary school. And it's also like a friend I have at work.
Right. And so they're putting all of these in one
But what the
file
friend is
together.
doing is like a thing that I do, and so that's the condensation. It's like it is all those at the same time. I mean, that's
Right.
what encapsulated in one image that has four or five of those different personal aspects. So this is all the personal unconscious eventually is what Jung would call it, or the Freudian
Okay.
unconscious. All there is in Freud is, at this point in Freud, is the personal unconscious. Okay, that's condensation,
Condensation.
amalgamation, sublimation.
Okay.
So sublimation is like a displacement, but it's more how one thing becomes another.
Okay.
So a famous one in Freud would be, let's say that in the latent dream has to do with the urge to urinate.
Oh no. Okay,
You're feeling it when you're asleep.
yeah.
You have to go to the
Yep.
bathroom.
That makes sense.
As that image or feeling or the whole process could be sublimated into, in the manifest dream, you dream of a river.
Oh, right. Okay. So it turns into another body of water.
So that's the sublimation, right? It's like
Okay.
it shares a formal quality, but it is sublimated.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
And then the fourth one, representability, it has to do with the capacity of an idea or a thought to be represented in an image. And so certain thoughts are very difficult, in fact, to represent. I mean, so let's say hatred. How would you represent the feeling of hatred in a
Oof.
dream image?
It's going to be very personal, too.
Right. But you can
Yeah.
see then that's what representability is, the ability
Right.
to be represented. And some things are pretty easy to represent, and other things are very, very difficult to.
Wow.
Oh, sublimation does go with displacement. It's a form of displacement. I left out one,
Oh no.
which is
Okay.
the secondary revision.
Secondary revision. All right. So which one are we missing?
That's the
Oh,
fourth
that's what it's
one.
called? Secondary
Yes,
revision.
secondary revision.
Okay.
Yes, sublimation goes with displacement.
That makes more sense to me, actually.
Yes, so secondary revision is when the more conscious part of the self revises the dream to fit the conscious situation. So, famously, in the dream, even in the dream, you start to remember that you're married.
Right, okay.
And you probably shouldn't be doing this.
Okay,
Does that make
so
sense?
that makes sense. Yeah, right, okay.
Freud would say that's a secondary revision. It's like that was not
Okay,
in
it, the original plan for the dream,
that was
yeah.
not in the latent dream.
I feel like that happens when I remember I'm a mom all the time in
Yes,
my dreams.
in the dream you forget you're a mom, and but then like, oh, and then I remembered I was it in the dream, and then I remembered.
Yeah.
That's a secondary revision. It's like that's only as you're waking up, this other life starts to come back,
Right. And it's like, wait a
and
minute.
then it gets edited into the story. Secondary revision. Now,
Okay.
all of those things happen in dreams. I mean, Jung just accepted that entirely. It's like, sure.
Right.
Yeah, all those things happen in dreams.
Because they, well, yeah, they do, which makes sense.
And that it is possible sometimes to strip away the layers and get to an idea of what's behind the images.
And so, but Jung takes his own turn in all this for sure.
He does in a couple of ways.
Okay.
So the first part is a little bit. The Kantian problem we talked about last week is that when you say there's a latent dream, this dream means you want to kill your mother.
Okay.
Now, the dream has absolutely nothing to do with your mother. It has absolutely nothing to do with killing. But
Right.
I can see behind the manifest to this Wish. So this is Freud's wish theory too. The dream is an unconscious wish. I wish to do this.
Okay.
The Kantian issue is, how do you know? How do you know that this has to
Right.
do with your mother? Or you, how do you, analyst, how do you know that it has to do with your mother when, in fact, your mother is not in the dream at all?
It goes back to that inherently unknowable part.
It does, right? Think
And
about
keeping it
that.
open, like when we talked about in symbology, that you have to
Right.
keep it open.
But Freud's method is semiotic or a sign in Jung's way of thinking, right? A one-to-one
Yeah.
correspondence.
They are not
Well,
keeping
you
it open.
dreamed of an older woman. Oh, by definition, that's always your mother.
It's just always flat. It couldn't be anyone else. It's just
Right.
always your mom. That seems
What
so narrow.
one-to-one correspondence.
Yeah.
See? And then the answer is, well,
So limiting.
how do you know what it if I
Right.
was dreaming about my mother, wouldn't I actually dream about my mother? Like what? See,
Yeah,
right?
that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, yeah, Jung had an issue with that.
Yeah, understandably.
And that it resulted in what Jung called the monotony of interpretation. Is that every Freudian interpretation in the long run
The
says,
same.
you want to kill your mother. Well, what about this dream over here? Yeah, you want to kill your mother too. But what about this dream? It means you want to kill your mother. And
There's no
see,
relating. There's no
that's the
relating.
monotony of it. You see what I
Oh,
mean?
yeah, I understand. Yeah, because
So,
going back to like tarot, if I wasn't helping people relate to the cards and I was just like, it means this, 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 and this, and I don't care if they're relating to it, then
exactly.
and it's not doing what it's meant to do. I get
Th
that.
think about that, right? And right, the
Yeah.
card means the same thing for every person. I mean, it's just,
Yeah, that there's no
it's a
question.
one-to-one correspondence.
Ugh, how flat.
So yes, as we talked about last time, yeah, Jung has a completely different way of working with symbols. Not, and he says, yeah,
Yeah.
that's a sign. We're gonna, what do we treat the dream as a symbol? Which is the best expression of a relatively unknown fact. Now, there you go. That's the Kantian
Right.
boundary. It's like, you dream of this friend who assaulted you verbally.
Right.
What does it really mean? We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't,
Right.
and I, as analyst, I don't know, and I won't force an
Right.
interpretation on you. It means you want, it means you want to kill your mother. No. So in that way, the Jungian approach is much more difficult, but much more rich.
Yeah.
So that, for instance, I have no, Jung says, I have no idea what a dream means, period. Every time I start, I have no preconceptions. I have no
That's great.
theory. I just hear the dream, and we start with the dream every time as if for the very first time.
That's great.
So we'll get, the first thing is the associations.
Right. What
So
does it mean for you, right?
even more specific, okay, you dream of a friend. So
Right.
does this dream image remind you of anyone as a friend? Well, no, it's no one I knew, you know, in the dream. It was not one of my friends. Okay. Does it remind you of anyone you've ever known, or you know, what was
Yeah.
the quality of a friend? And then also, even it can be as simple as, like, if I'm getting nothing on that, like, no, I doesn't remind me of anybody. I don't know any. Okay. I got this a long time ago from my first analyst.
Okay.
Imagine you were a Martian. And someone said the word friend. How would you explain to the Martian what friend means, what friend is?
I like that.
I mean, we can always do that. Like, oh, I just can't think of any personal associations. Okay,
Right.
friend. Like, what is friend? What is
Do you
friend?
even mean? Yeah.
Yeah,
How did they
to,
know it
and
was a
it's also
friend?
then to you. Like, well,
Yeah.
a friend is a person with whom you share things,
Right. Okay.
or whatever. You know, there's not one answer. I mean, different people would say different things, and you say, okay, that's what. So, A person with whom you share things then is attacking you verbally.
Right. And then that brings up all sorts of things, I'm sure.
It does. And then so then another sort of generic move is to say, what situation in your life is like that?
Right, which again is going to be very personal and specific.
But then now, see, there is not a monotony of interpretation. It's not it,
Right, it's just wide open.
because with these personal associations, and I always say this too, the exact same dream dreamed by two different people have very different meanings. If two people dream the same dream, like, this dream where I dreamt I was attacked, verbally attacked by a friend. It wouldn't be the same. It's not the same dream in two
No,
different people. It could be
that
very,
makes
very
sense.
different depending on, what it brings up and what they're.
Yeah, I'm thinking about our cat example. I'm thinking that was archetypes, but about how the cat means different things to different people depending on what their relationship with cats are. So that makes sense.
So you bring up the archetypal, and that's then all of this we've just talked about is personal. So we would call that. Jung calls that the personal unconscious.
Yeah, let's
One
bring up our.
aspect of everything, kind of always there.
Right.
But what is different in Jung than Freud or anybody else is the idea of not only a personal unconscious, but the collective unconscious.
Yeah,
And so,
that was
also
the big
in
thing.
dreams, there are I images that are very much not personal, they are collective.
Yes. We have talked about that, which I think is pretty amazing.
And then, in relating to the collective, the archetypal, Jung's take on dreams is also that there is an underlying process in the dream formation.
There's an
That
underlying process in
there's
the
an
dream formation.
underlying process which is a natural function, which he calls in the long run the urge to individuation. That it is a natural function of the psyche to wish to grow,
Well, yeah.
to have an impulse, an underlying impulse towards growth. And the dreams are a part of that growth. So
And
that
how so?
the selection process, well, why this dream this night? The selection process. Again, there's the Kantian boundary problem. We can't say that we know why this dream this night. But when you take enough dreams, a larger sample, there is something going on in the background that seems to have to do with growth. So, for instance, every dream that a person dreams, right, okay, it has all the personal stuff we just talked about, but it also has various archetypes involved in the growth process.
Okay, that makes sense.
Shadow, animus, like you said, there's so many, the trickster. And again, the selection process. Why are you having a shadow dream
Like right now at this point.
right now? With the indication that a little bit that something somewhere behind all of this wants you to look at your shadow issue. That's why you're having this dream.
So that we can inherently, because of the fact that we are having a dream at a certain time, we can deduce that it's important somewhere in the subconscious.
In the unconscious, we don't
Sorry, in the
use.
unconscious.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yes. And for what reason would it be important?
Well,
Again, it
but that's
gets
the
up
thing
to
we can't know, the
we can't
why.
know, but the idea that there is a selection process and there is an intelligence at work,
Even though it's unconscious.
completely unconscious. So
Interesting.
let us say a developmental process. And that the dreams are reflective of that underlying developmental process. So at least I'm a developmental thinker and I think about everything in developmental terms. So for instance, you have, let us say a person has a 4-year-old child
Right? Like me.
who has an impulse to play in a certain way,
Right?
right?
Sure.
That's a developmental process.
That she's going through or that I'm going
Yes,
through?
that she is going through.
Right. Oh, yeah. She's
Right?
developing by leaps and
Right.
bounds every
Well,
day.
how does she know what to do to develop?
Oh.
She doesn't, of
No. I mean,
course.
especially at that age, it
She's
just happens so fast.
unconscious. She is
Yeah.
unconscious of the developmental process and the steps in the developmental process because there are steps. It's like, well, first
Yeah.
this has to happen, and then that builds on this, and then this has to happen. You see how
Right.
complex
It's
it
very
is?
complex. Yeah.
Well, how can she do it if she has no idea that it even exists? But
It just happens.
it's the underlying developmental impulse. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a part of
Yeah.
instinct and nature
Right.
for a human personality to unfold in a certain sequence. Right?
Yeah.
And then I also say there are developmental windows. You know, it's that it the timing. Like,
Right.
okay, at this time, this is what needs to happen.
Right. You
And
need
if
to
it,
learn to walk, you need
or
to
what if
learn to
it doesn't
talk.
happen in its appropriate developmental window? Well, you can still learn it, but it is a whole lot more difficult to come back and retrace a step that you missed. Very
That makes
difficult.
sense.
So there's also a window about, now is the time. Now is the time for gross motor development, right? Do it, do it, do it every day. Get out, get on the swing set, get on gross motor development. Like, do
Right.
it, do it, do it. And then now is the time for fine motor development.
Yeah.
And then, you know, draw and do tiny little things with fingers, you know, fine motor development. And again, who is issuing this plan? This sequence of
Right.
events.
That's crazy to think about because it
And
just happens.
of course, yeah, it doesn't just happen. It's developmental.
It's developmental.
And
Yeah.
then, of course, the idea in the long run is that, you know, not only children are in developmental phases,
That
but
we are always in
the development
development.
never stops through the whole
Yeah.
life cycle. And for instance, Erik Erikson identified eight stages of the life cycle. Developmental periods all the way up
Okay.
to age 80.
That's a lot.
That is human, as in every single person goes through this stage
Well,
at that time of life.
and always, I mean, there's always outliers, but
And there's always outliers, of course. But
the
now,
general population.
so the idea that dreams are a reflection of that developmental process. And that's why you have a shadow dream tonight, because now is the time. Now is the
Right.
time to really look at your shadow. Something knows that. And also, there's a sequence, because what we want in the long run is for you to come into relationship with yourself.
Oh.
Mean, that's a developmental goal, right? Is to fully
Well, yeah. When
become
we're talking about the
yourself.
shadow. Yeah.
And then it's like, but until you deal with the shadow, you can't move on.
Right.
So
Right.
first, see, that's the sequence, the developmental sequence. First, you have to deal with the shadow, then you can move on. And then in Jungian terms, sort of a rule of thumb is that Jung said, for men, first the shadow, then the anima, then
Oh.
the self. That sequence.
Okay.
And
Okay.
then the women analysts pushed back and said, for a woman, it's actually first the animus, then the shadow, then the self.
So it's different.
But some idea of a
Huh.
developmental sequence.
Right.
So let's say when a woman is starting a growth process, it might be that there would be dreams of the critical animus. So back to our
Yeah.
sample dream. It wouldn't be that a friend was being verbally abusive to me. It would be a male friend was being
Right,
verbally
exactly.
abusive to me.
Yeah.
And as a Jungian, like first thing, okay, now we have to talk about animus in the woman.
Animus. Yeah,
And what
that
is
makes
going
sense.
on? Like, and what is, right? Do you have a lot of internal self-critical thoughts?
Right.
You know, do you have a lot of strong opinions that seem to come from nowhere that you haven't actually reasoned out or thought about? You just have the opinions. You're highly opinionated without
Right.
being
Without thinking
knowledgeable.
through it.
That's all animus.
Yeah, that's tough work.
And then it's like, and that is in the way of this moving forward.
Right. The subconscious, or sorry, unconscious
So
patterns that we're
first it's
following.
saying now the window opens, now's the time to deal with animus.
But if we're not even aware of that, then we
Then
think we just had a dream where our friend was yelling at us.
right, or that a dream is random firings of neurons and it's utterly meaningless.
Right, which is just like so polar and counterproductive to me to just be just ignoring all of that.
So I would say that is also unique to Jung is the underlying developmental agenda. So, for instance, what is certainly unique to Jung is that it's actually more helpful to look at a series of dreams rather than one dream in isolation.
Right,
So
that makes sense.
Jung has many, many articles on a dream series. And so when you think about it, most of us have several ongoing dream series, which so it's not a recurring dream, but it is a dream of the same theme, sort of.
Right. Okay. So, like if
And
someone dreams about high school, like all the time.
yes, there you go. That
Right.
you could have a dream series of high school dreams. And the answer is, well, so what? Or what's going on with
Yeah,
that? But it is
exactly.
that if you're working with it, when you look at the dream series, you will see changes. You will see development if it's going well. You will see the development in that dream series.
Okay.
So, for instance, for me to interpret a dream, for me, the best way to interpret a dream is have one dream in isolation. I mean, I'll do the best I can. What if I knew the dream that came before this
Oh,
dream
yeah.
and the dream that comes after this dream?
More context clues.
Now I have the context for, oh, right, this dream about this friend verbally abusing you is a part of that animus development
Bigger
in
sequence,
which
yeah.
you, I see in the dream series, you're becoming more aware. It's like in the first kind of dreams of that sequence, you weren't aware of it being so critical. You just took it and accepted it. Now, in the dream, even, you're becoming
Yeah.
aware that
It's not
it's not
right.
all right. It's kind of
Yeah.
toxic. That's a development. You see what I mean? Now
Right.
you have become more conscious, in
Right.
other
More
words,
aware.
more aware of, yeah, this self-critical talk is toxic, as opposed to just accepting it.
Yeah.
So there you
Huh.
go. That's a development.
So write down your dreams, folks.
And then where does that go after that?
Right.
And what's the development of which, while we're on it, and you can encourage everybody, it's the movie The Ghost in Mrs. Muir
The
is
ghost in what?
Mrs. Muir,
In Mrs. Muir.
Muir, Muir.
I
It is
have
a
not.
famous movie, I think, from the late 1930s.
I have
It was
not seen
also
that.
a book. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
It is a picture of animus development in sequence in a woman
And from the 30s.
from the 30s.
Wow.
The ghost is the animus, in other words.
Okay.
Right? So she's a widow. Her husband maybe was killed in World War I or something. I mean, I don't know. And so she goes to the seacoast just to get away and finds this cabin by the sea,
Okay.
cottage by the sea. And there's a ghost in the cottage, who turns out to be an old sea captain.
Oh.
And then she sort of stays and ends up living in the cottage and having this ongoing conversation
With the ghost.
with the sea captain.
Nice.
But then she goes through a phase in which, again, he is very critical and mean. He is mean to her.
I see.
And
But that's
then
her working it through.
she takes it for a while, and then she starts to stand up and really stands up to him and says, "You cannot treat me like this. I'm not going to stand for this. Like, and a matter of fact, I'm going to leave." "Oh, don't leave, don't leave. You can't treat me like this." So by her standing up, now he changes. And so that's the development of the animus. And there are several phases which we don't have to go into, but one of the phases, he becomes the animus in the sense of an inspiration, a muse, so that he begins telling her his stories of the sea and all of his adventures and the things that happened. And
And
as a
she's,
muse,
yeah.
she starts writing them down
Nice.
as a book.
Cool.
She didn't know what she was going to do with her life. She starts writing them down. She takes the book to the publisher, who says, "It's a very good book, but I don't understand. How do you know so much about
The
sailing and the sea? Because these
Wow.
stories are so real and accurate."
Wow.
It's like, "I just make them up,
And it's actually her ghost friend.
It is her ghost friend."
That's amazing. Well, I'm definitely gonna have to watch
Oh,
that.
everybody should watch it. Then she meets a man for the first time, an actual man who's a very nice man. And the ghost is very jealous.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then
He
she
does
has
not
to
approve.
deal with that situation.
So much to unpack there.
So, does that make sense? That dreams,
Yeah.
there is this developmental arc over time. And that's the journey, right? That's
Yeah.
the journey.
I love that. I definitely think that's awesome that there's sort of this underlying coordination that's going on. Let me take a second. We've been talking for a while. Let me see if we've hit all my questions here. I wanted to talk about dream ego, but I think maybe we should do a whole episode on that. I don't
Yes,
know if you want to touch on it briefly or
well, we'll
not.
touch on, I mean, so that word, the dream ego, means when you dream of yourself in the first person. So I was going to a party. That's the dream ego. So,
So,
which is
do we
a
have dreams that
reflection.
aren't like that?
Oh, people have third person dreams all the time in which they are not in the, they don't appear in the dream. My
Remember
friends
if I've had
were
that.
going to a party. When they got to the bar, XYZ happened. It's all in third
Really?
person.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever had
The
it that
dream
I
ego
conscious
is
can't
not
remember.
there. And there are many third person dreams, right? So just technically, the dream ego means you dream of you as yourself in the first person. Now, the fun part, which we'll have to get to later, is that is the dream ego really like your waking ego? Or are there differences? Interesting
Yeah,
differences.
I
Okay.
think there's a lot of interesting differences, but I think we should spend a whole episode on that because I think we could talk for a whole nother hour about that. So maybe we can wrap up with this question. Are all dreams meaningful in some way? Or do we have dreams that really are just sort of like, I know we've talked about hot and flat, but like, is it that if we really uncover what's underneath a flat dream, that it would be something that would turn hot for us? Or can we really just have dreams that just like, I dreamt of mac and cheese and it's just mac and cheese and there's nothing underneath?
I was presented with a dream of I saw a man wearing some really cool socks. And I went up to him and said, "Those are wonderful. I really like those socks." And he said, "Oh, yes, you should try them."
should try them.
What?
Did she try them or did they try them?
I think that's where the dream ended.
Okay. That's pretty funny.
So, see, that's your question, right? It's like how flat is that? And it's sort of technically, if you really dug into the personal associations, there might be something.
Well, I mean, I can imagine it being
But
something about like trying something new. I
in the long
mean.
run, it's pretty flat. And yes, there are dreams in which the meaning is virtually indecipherable.
I like that.
And then,
Virtually
so to say they
indecipherable.
have no meaning is, again, you don't know.
Because you're still assigning meaning if you say it has no meaning.
So
I got that.
it's that, well, what I can say that is accurate is that it's indecipherable to me. I have no idea what is going on
Remains a
here.
mystery.
So yeah, that's true. That happens.
Okay.
But
Awesome, Dad.
in conclusion, I mean, most dreams have a function. And that if you work on it just a little bit, then you do begin to see patterns in your dreams. Like I say, not a single dream is kind of tough, but a series of dreams, you see patterns,
Okay.
and that you can learn a lot from the pattern.
Yeah, I think so too. Was there anything else you think is really important for us as a baseline as far as information about dreams is concerned?
I like what you said, that everybody should write down their dreams. And then, when you say write down your dreams, you mean it in your generation. So yes, you guys have all kinds of technology that may not be writing it, not by hand,
Yeah,
exactly. It's that
voice memos
you can
and
leave yourself a voice memo. You can. And then you can write it down later, because it's on the
yeah.
voice memo. And then right, then it's on your computer, and you don't have to use a typewriter
Which is nice.
to
Yeah.
type out your dreams to take to your analyst, which is
Like
what
you did.
I did. Sure.
Yeah, typing it out would be hard. I think there's also one that I use a lot is talk to text.
See? So
So you just
it
talk and
is
it types it out as you talk.
so much better now. You really
It's a lot
can
easier.
keep track of your dreams, and I would say the earlier in the morning, the better to write them down, because a dream is also just like a camera, especially a Polaroid. You and your
Okay. Yeah.
Polaroids, right? Is that there's an image, you have to wait for it to develop, can't
Right.
even see what it is at
Yeah.
first, but then, at least on the old Polaroid, in a certain period of time, you have to put the fixer on it.
Right.
That's the
Yeah.
chemical which holds the image.
Otherwise, it just turns
Fades,
black.
it fades, and the image is totally gone. And that's what happens to our dreams every single day.
Yeah,
Right?
exactly.
That you didn't put, you have a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll remember this dream. Boy, that was quite a dream. And then it's 2 in the afternoon, and you're like, I can't remember it. I forgot.
Right. I have no idea what you were dreaming about.
You did not put the fixer on it to hold the image.
Right. You got to
And it
write it down.
fades, and then it fades away.
Right.
So I'd encourage that too.
Because how are you supposed to link them together if you never write them down? Yeah, I say that to my tarot students too, that they have to, when they're doing card pulls, to write them down because otherwise they won't see the patterns. So that makes
That's
sense.
it.
All right. Well, thanks, Dad. I think we have a really awesome base for dreams because I know that we will be talking about dreams for a long time on this podcast. So I thank you for that, and I appreciate you being here with me and doing this. All
Yeah, it's fun, and I'll see you next week.
right, thanks, Dad. Thank you for listening in on our discussion about dreams. If you have any questions, as always, feel free to reach out to us at ajunginandawitch@gmail.com. I would love to start a segment where we ask Dad questions from the listeners. So I would really love to hear about anything you have questions on. Our website is up now. You can go to ajunginandawitch.com and get more info about me and Dad. And for more from me, go head over to my website, queenofcups.com. If you want more from Dad, head over to his YouTube channel, History of Ideas. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. We really appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.